How do you maintain your neutrality when you feel fury at political leaders?
I think being Australian, I have a cynicism for all political leaders, so you tend not to take sides on any political side. So you certainly feel frustration about what has happened to them, but the machinations that go into these the creation of these contexts are not simple, and I think you can't necessarily find one person to blame or even one group to blame. But certainly you feel anger and you feel a degree of solidarity. But you do know that this is happening in many other parts of the world, and it's happening aggression from many different sources. So you learn to deal with it, I think, and look after your patient and do what you can. But I suppose the way we do it in our organisations, we channel it into coming back to places like Washington or to Europe and saying, this is unacceptable. What is happening is completely unacceptable. The people that are responsible, the national government has responsibilities to their people, the international community has responsibility, and humanitarian organisations have responsibility. So I think that anger and that incredible concern about about what's happening, you can channel that into something, and it can channel into trying to make the conditions a little better for these people so they can keep living.
Dr. Gillies, the your group, Doctors Without Borders, recently ended its 24-year involvement in Afghanistan. Tell us what led to that decision.
Well, ultimately, the decision was brought about because five of our workers were murdered about 2 months ago in Baghis province in Afghanistan.
Tell us about that incident. Yeah.
Pretty much there were five people, three expatriate and two Afghans, who were returning from their clinic where they've been working during the day, and we understand that they were attacked and shot and killed. This is one of the most difficult times we've had as an organisation, that we've been attacked and we've lost so many of our people that we've worked with for so long. And the most important thing, I think, is for their families and their friends, that they've lost their loved ones. Unfortunately, it also sends a signal about what has been happening in Afghanistan and different parts of the world. Since that killing, we've been named by a spokesman who says he's working for the Taliban a number of times as targets. So as an aid organisation, we've been named as a target by one of the warring parties. This is a situation we cannot work, a condition under which we can't work. As well, the follow-up of the murder of these people has not gone ahead in the way we thought we would like with respect to investigating what happened and trying to find out who perpetrated these killings. Without some sort of show from governments, whether they be overseas government or the national government, that it's unacceptable to attack humanitarian workers, again, we can't work.
I gather that their suspects have been identified in this case, right?
Yeah, people have told us. I mean, we're obviously not an investigative organisation. People have told us they do have suspects, but we haven't seen very much progression along those lines. But this is on a background of many, many, many attacks on aid workers in the last year or two in Afghanistan, and very few of them have been follow-up in a judicial sense. So it's not just what's happening to the case of our people who were murdered, but also many other cases. The difficulty we have, it brings up a much greater question, is how can you work independently in the current world situation with the war on terror or so on? And the difficulty is that as an independent actor, we rely for our security on the fact that both sides of the war understand who we are and understand that we're only there to help people. We're not part of the fight. Currently in Afghanistan, we have on the one side, the coalition, who has co-opted humanitarian action. They said, yes, we are part of the humanitarian response. We are humanitarians, and denying us our independence, I suppose. And the other side of the conflict is we have people who've targeted us. So on both sides, it's been very difficult for us to work. And I can give you an example of that loss of independent space to work is the earlier this year, the coalition forces handed out leaflets to people in Afghanistan saying, if you don't hand in Al-Qaeda, if you don't hand in Taliban leaders, your aid will be cut off. And that message, conditioning aid on military or political desires, makes our position almost impossible. it's very hard for us to go the next day and say, yes, we want to give you aid. They say, well, no, are you part of this coalition? Are you part of the people who bombed here last year? No, we're not. We're not with us or against us. We're right in the middle, and that's where we want to stay.
You, I assume, protested this to the coalition government.
Yes, very strongly. And they said, well, sorry, it was a mistake. It was the people on the ground made that mistake. But it's happened time and again. And when there's this mixing, blurring of the lines, it's very difficult for us to define who we are and also and define our security boundaries, saying we are not part of one of the warring parties. We are completely independent of these.
Secretary of State Colin Powell said in addressing this issue of humanitarian relief in 2001, he said, and this is a quote, just as surely as our diplomats and military, American non-governmental organizations are out there serving and sacrificing on the front lines of freedom, these non-governmental organizations are such a force multiplier for us, such an important part of our combat team. What did you think when you heard those words?
As an organization, we're very upset by that statement. It's very hard for us to explain to people on the field, intelligent people in the field, our patients and so on, that when we're described as force multipliers or part of the war against terror or whatever, that no, we're not. We're actually independent actors. It affects our security and affects our ability to access different areas and help people. And there was I was reading the New York Times a couple of days ago, and there was an article which suggested the United States government was preparing a list of militia leaders relying on information culled from private release organizations working there. Now, I can assure you, Doctors Without Borders is certainly not compiling information on militia leaders. And for the government to come out and say this and say this to a journalist, it again puts us at great security risks and makes it very difficult for us to get on with our work. If different parts of the warring faction feel we're not independent, it's very hard for us to work without changing the way we work and, again, working non-independently. And it's incredibly disappointing for the people of Afghanistan that people who have come to help them from overseas just cannot get there anymore.
Well, Rowan Gillies, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure.
Rowan Gillies is International President of Doctors Without Borders.